Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 395th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by our Patreon. Score exclusive perks, content, and contests, including our NFL Wins Totals contest with a $1,000 prize. Join today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. We're also brought to you by Parlay Play. Parlay Play is a lead pipe locking for parlaying player props. Go to parlayplay.io and use promo code SGP for a 100% deposit bonus today.
Hi, degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 395. It's going to go out to one of our friends in the Sports Gambling Podcast Discord. Get in the Discord if you're not already. Scuba, who hit a massive prop bet last night. Plus, I don't know, Gumby will remember when I introduced him. But yes,
1,100.
Plus 1,100 prop bet last night on Dana White Contender Series. So this goes out to Scuba. Me, the person who's talking, I'll be Jeff Chalks Fox, the top Dana White Contender Series prognosticator on this podcast. I killed it last night without watching tape. So that's just the way I roll.
Or the fights themselves. Did you catch up on them at least?
I did. I watched the fights. Let's bring in, this man did good, but only because a couple of massive underdogs came through and saved his ass. It's one and only Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, I mean, I felt really good. And actually, if you go back and you listen to I guess it was Sunday show, because now we do two Sunday shows. The two dogs I felt the best about were the biggest ones. And so they were the ones I was the heaviest on. And man, did they both hit. And it's, you know, we should have just dedicated this episode. Not that that Scuba's not a willing and able and honorable person to give it to. But I do think Kevin Borges probably deserved it. Man, that dude was lightning on the feet and made plus 280 look not so bad.
Yes, it was a good start to the evening. Good start to Contender Series all around. I went 3-2, just blindly made. Well, I can't say I blindly made picks.
You made resume picks. Resume picks.
Yeah, yeah. Resume picks. Yes. So I went 3-2 with the big plus 280. So that helped. So I was up $250. See, I'm counting it now that I actually did good. on the episode, I kept putting in qualifiers, but maybe I'll go back and edit all that out. Gumby only went 2-3, but the most important thing is he made $200 on $100 bets because he hit a plus 280 hit, and in the main event, plus 220. Didn't look so hot to begin the main event, but I made a turnaround for you.
You know, I thought he actually looked pretty good the whole time. We don't have to rehash the whole fight here, but, you know, he gave up a takedown, but he never let Fernando settle in. Like he just was constantly moving, started getting up. And then it turns out he's got kind of his own ground game, which is, I think, you know, for as exciting as a 4-fight, 35-year-old middleweight prospect can be, which is the craziest list of qualifiers, he's got to be the most exciting that could possibly exist, right?
Perhaps the only one as well, but yes.
Yeah.
you really are winnowing down the talent pool when you mentioned all those qualifiers. But yeah, no, he looked for a kickboxing guy, he looked very interesting.
You gotta shout out to
some
the
interesting guys things on the ground.
Yeah, shout out to the guys from Extreme Couture who have clearly gotten that dude ready for a real MMA fight rather than because he just beat an LFA champ. He just beat a guy who's like at the top of LFA. And to do that in your fourth pro fight, when the best guy you fought outside of that was 5-24, that is a huge jump in talent all of a sudden.
It sure is. And not to make this a whole contender series episode, because that will be Sunday. We can run through these fights once again on Sunday and make our winning picks for week two. But yeah, it was a good performance. A lot of good performances last night. And the boss gave contracts out to everyone, of course, because I think that's the way we're going to roll this season.
If Machado, because I like Kyle Machado. You know, he was on my show. He was on Top Turtle.
Yep.
And he's a real entertaining guy, a sweet man. And I would say, if Dana White gave him a contract, there's no limit to the type of people he's going to give contracts to, because that fight stunk.
It sure did. It sure did. All right. Hopefully the fights we're going to cover today won't stink. We're covering UFC Fight Night Luque versus Dos Anjos, aka UFC and ESPN. It's going down this Saturday at the UFC Apex, back in the cozy confines of the Apex. 4 p.m. prelim start time Eastern on ESPN. That's what we're going to zero in on today, the prelim fights. And then we got a 7 o'clock main card on ESPN. Same amount of fights, 6 fights. Actually, there's 7 we're going to cover today on the prelim, 6 on the main card. That will be tomorrow's episode. So we're going to jump into the 6-fight prelims after I tell you about the Sports Gambling Podcast Patreon. Sign up for the Patreon to get access to exclusive contests, including the NFL win totals contest with a $1,000 first place prize, tongue twister. Besides season-long contests, they also have weekly contests just for the Patreons, plus a monthly SGP Stories podcast, completely ad-free and full of behind-the-scenes stories from SGPN. There's even a Discord channel just for the patrons. Only you can prevent corporate gambling. Do your part and sign up today. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Patreon. That's SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Patreon. All right, here we go. Luque versus Dos Anjos. We're going to start things off with a women's flyweight fight. Newcomer versus a returning, I want to call her a veteran, but she's had 5 fights, so maybe not really a veteran. That would be killer Juliana Miller. And she's going up against Luana Santos. So we'll tell you about Killer Miller first. 3-2, 1 knockout, 2 submissions. So she's finished everyone. She herself has never been finished in a fight. She's 1-1 in the UFC, won her debut, which got her the Ultimate Fighter Championship. She went 2-0 in the house and then won her debut fight. And then she lost badly in her last fight. She was 1-1 in Evicta before all this, is a pro grappler. Got an inch of height on Santos, plus 136. The newcomer, Santos, 5-1 with 3 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. This is her UFC debut. She's won 2 straight fights. Won her last fight via submission. Used to fight up at flyweight and up at bantamweight as well. 2 inches of reach on Miller. 4 years younger. Is a judo champion. And she's at minus 150. And I kick it over to the Gumby God to get us started.
You said minus 150 on Santos?
Minus 150, yeah. That number went a little not in our way because we're picking Santos, right?
Of course we are. Yeah, it was like negative 135 when I nabbed it early in the week. I was like, you are telling me I can get a living, breathing human being to beat Killer Miller at negative 135? And it's even at negative 150. I echo that sentiment. Like, you are going to give me somebody who's fought before in his negative 150 against Juliana Miller. That's wild. And that's if you don't do film study on Luana Santos. Like, even if you haven't watched Luana Santos, you don't know that she's a high level judo practitioner. You don't know any of that stuff about her. Like, she's got a pulse in his 1 fight in LFA. She should have no problem with Juliana Miller. But then when you watch her too, like, okay, so she's not the crispest striker you've ever seen in your life. She's a little on the slow side. She's kind of what you expect from somebody who's only had 6 pro fights, but she's got a real heavy right hand. In her last fight, she knocked down Bartira Rodriguez, I'm pretty sure. She knocked her down with a big right hand before finishing up with an absolutely gnarly guillotine. Like, she's got great submission skills. She's a big fan of that submission that Montserrat Canejo hit back in Invicta, the Keisa Katami leg Americana, which is pretty sick. She's gotten a couple of those on the regional scene. So, like, she's got good sub skills on the ground. But even apart from that, like, I just think, you know, she's going to light Miller up on the feet. Miller is going to take a very ugly shot at her legs, and she's going to get choked. Or if that doesn't happen and she doesn't get a chance to take a, she's going to be woozy from the shots. And then, Santos is going to jump in and finish her. Cause like, look, Santos is a finisher. I know Miller's tough, but man, she's just like, she's not up to the skill level she needs to be in the UFC.
And is she not going to be, physically out muscled in this fight too?
I think Santos. I mean, like,
way stronger than her. She's gonna... She seems to be a small strawweight.
She's a skinny strawweight.
Yeah,
it's probably the right way to say it. Cause she's, I mean, she is 5'7". That's like the average height of a flyweight, I feel like. But at the same time, you're right. Like, she is going to be out muscled by everybody. She's very skinny. Right. Whereas for those of you who are looking for just any reason to dump money on Luana Santos, just pull up her Tapology page. She has muscles. There you go. There's enough, you know, like,
yeah, sorry.
I said
strawweight. This is flyweight. Excuse me on that.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Flyweight. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, Luana Santos should have no problem here. I think she's gonna finish her. If we're gonna be honest here.
Oh, maybe we have a prop bet. We'll have to wait and see tomorrow. A sub finish, perhaps a submarine finish.
I know she's got only subs on her record. I was looking at this number beforehand because I have sort of circled it as a prop I'm interested in. It's +375 right now for any kind of finish. Yeah. And so you can get cute and try to like get it up to 500 or 600 if you want to pick sub or you want to pick knockout. But the problem is she's got really heavy hands, and the reason she got her last sub was her heavy hands. So rather than sit there and have to, like, you know, worry that she's going to club and sub when I have knockout, or she's going to club too hard and not be able to sub and when I have submission, I'd rather just take inside the distance. That's a fat enough number anyway.
There you go. Beautiful. All right. We'll go to a last minute fight. This one just got made basically earlier in this week. Jose Johnson stepping in to fight Damon Blackshear at a bantamweight fight. Let's break her down, shall we? We have talked about Johnson before. Have we not? I remember talking about his nickname, Lobo Solitario.
Yeah, he was on Contender Series, right. And we broke down that fight. And I actually think we broke down his fight with Garrett Armfield, too, which got canceled at the last minute with a health issue with Jose Johnson.
Yes, he's Lobo Solitario, Dan. You know what that means, right?
Yeah, the solitary wolf.
Yes, the lone wolf. Doesn't that sound better? Don't you think the lone wolf sounds better than the solitary wolf?
I like the solitary wolf much better.
Actually, yeah, it might be a good title for the episode too. We shall see. All right, let me tell you about him first. That would be Johnson. 15-7, 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted 3 times. This is a short notice debut. 1-1 in Contender Series. He's won 3 straight fights. He's not lost since May of 2021. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the t-shirt sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. What else? He used to fight up at featherweight, 2 inches taller than Blackshear. Based off his Contender Series fights, he's got better striking stats than Blackshear, and he did outstrike his opponents in the 2 Contender Series fights by 0.84 strikes per minute. And he also is a pro Muay Thai practitioner. He's at +164. Damon Blackshear, 13-5-1, 2 knockouts, 8 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 1-1-1 over in the UFC. Won his last fight via TKO. He was a CFFC champion before this. Won no in Bellator. Used to fight up his featherweight as well. A regional champion. He's got an inch of reach on Johnson. Based off their small sample size, he's more active landing strikes and has better grappling stats. However, he's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.26 strikes per minute, -175. Give me Blackshear. I kind of like him overall. Plus, I'm not going to take a short notice debuting fighter who's only had a couple days notice for this fight. And he lost in Contender Series too. So it's not like he's tippy top. He's lost 7 times already for that matter. So yeah, give me the monster to beat the solitary wolf.
So I will say he has come a long way since his loss on Contender Series. He looked awful in that loss, and it was to Ronnie Lawrence, which is respectful in a loss there. But I would say this, 2 things about it. Jose Johnson is a guy who a lot of his early losses came by having issues with wrestling. Like, you know, like he didn't lose to Mo Miller, but he was losing to Mo Miller before he locked in a triangle choke. He was having trouble with the wrestling. He had trouble with the wrestling of Ronnie Lawrence. He had trouble with the wrestling Dre Miley a little bit. He had trouble with the wrestling of Levi Mollis. So, like, all of the wrestling caused him trouble early on. And then he kind of turned it around and showed he had a little bit of wrestling against Jack Cartwright, but he hasn't shown it enough for me to be like, oh, that's now a part of his game. That's like a strength. And Damon Blackshear wrestles really well. Like, he's an exceptionally good wrestler. So when you consider that Blackshear is like a good wrestler and Jose Johnson is like, you know, that's an improving part of his game, it might give me enough to pick Jose Johnson if he wasn't coming in on short notice. The short notice here is super alarming because Blackshear puts a pace on people. He's a grinder. This is going to be a fight that wears you out. And, you know, cutting all that weight last second, coming in without having a dedicated training camp for the types of things Damon Blackshear does, I think that all spells disaster for Jose Johnson. Otherwise, like, I'd probably give this fight more of a thought. But the fact that the line is where it's at is kind of crazy, don't you think? Like, for a short notice
guy? We're getting a good line there, yeah, for sure.
And
you,
I think...
You know me and my short notice.
Yeah, and I do know that. But I also think it opened a lot wider, and either the money's coming in on Jose Johnson because, hey, maybe people do remember that win against Cartwright, which, I mean, it blew me away. I had Cartwright in that Contender Series fight and was very shocked that Jose Johnson fought the way he did. But, like, yeah, I mean, Blackshear has looked good, you know, apart from tiring a little bit against Yusuf Zalal, which was because he himself was coming in on short notice. And he beat the hell out of Luan Lacerda. He absolutely dominated that dude. And so then he struggled with Fareed Basharat. Like, you know, we're gonna give him -170 on a short notice debutant because he struggled with Fareed Basharat. Like, that doesn't seem right. So yeah, I think the odds here are worth a play for sure.
And debutant is a fun word as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I try to sneak it in there once an episode if I can.
Once an episode, wow. All right, let me see. Shall we move on to another fight? We shall. We're going to go women's strawweights. Jacqueline Amarim. Oh, she broke our hearts in her debut against Montserrat Ruiz. One of, Gumby just mentioned her. Montserrat,
she did. Conigo. She did not Ruiz. Break our hearts in her debut.
No, she's on Gumby's Mount Rushmore for what was she at when you picked her, and what fight was that? It was two
plus,
fights ago, right?
Plus 300, she beat Cheyenne Vliesmas, then Cheyenne Bays.
Yes, now pregnant Cheyenne Vliesmas apparently. So we won't be
very, 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 very pregnant.
Yes, very pregnant. All right. Women's strawweights, neither of these women are pregnant. Hopefully they do check, I know, before fights. All right, we're going to tell you about Ruiz Conejo. Means her nickname is
Rabbit.
Correct. 10-2, 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's been knocked out once. 1-1 in the UFC, got TKO'd in her last fight. That was back in July of 2021. She's not won since March of 2021. That was the aforementioned big hit for you, right?
Yes, I think that's correct.
2 fights ago. Yeah. 1-1 in Invicta, multiple regional championships on her
mantle.
Correct. Get the t-shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Used to fight up at flyweight. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes, and better grappling stats than Amarim. But Amarim has only fought once and not very well in the UFC. She has been outstruck. She being Ruiz by 1.28 strikes per minute, plus 200. Amarim, Jackie is her nickname, Dan. What a great nickname, eh?
Yeah, it's great.
Your nickname's Dan. Will you accept it?
No, it's got me.
Okay, fine. She is 6-1, Amarim, 1 knockout, 5 submissions. So she's finished all of her opponents, all of her wins. Never been finished herself in a fight. 0-1 in the UFC. Was the LFA champion before. Is a pro grappler. 3 inches height, 7 inches of reach, and 2 years younger than Ruiz. She got outstruck in her UFC debut by 2.27 strikes per minute, minus 238. Are we giving her another shot, Dan?
I'm going to go with Ruiz.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's...
I guess you have to.
It's well, I don't have to, but it's not necessarily entirely heat on Amarim. But you know, like I was really high on her. You know, like when she came in to fight Sam Hughes, I was like, you know, you'd be dumb not to dump a truckload of money on her at -275. And obviously that burned. But like when you go back and you look at her wins, like she doesn't have a lot of high level competition she's fought, right? Like the best fighter she's ever fought is Ashley Nichols. She's 5-4 right now. And to be fair, Ashley Nichols is a Muay Thai fighter. And so like she submitted a Muay Thai specialist. And Montserrat Ruiz has things that will cause problems for Jackie Amarim. She's got really good takedowns. Granted, they're unconventional as hell. Cause she loves that stupid head and arm throw that always seems like her back's going to get taken, and it might get her back taken here. I'm not saying it won't, but like, she's got things like that are awkward. She gets on top. She's strong when she is on top. She holds position. Cheyenne Vlismas did not go anywhere during the grappling in that match. And so, like, I think that all of those things put together, and you have to be like, you know, it's not like Amorim can just be like, okay, we're going to make this a stand-up fight, and she's going to have to deal with my length. Amorim looked terrible striking, like really bad striking. So, like, I think Ruiz might have a advantage there. I think she might have an advantage in the power. I think she might have an advantage in the ability to take the fight to the mat. She is going to have a jiu-jitsu disadvantage. That's for sure. But is that going to matter if Amorim's on the bottom? I think at plus 200, you have to find out.
I'm still going with Amorim. I'll give her another shot, Dan. And Ruiz is coming off a long long layoff as well, and coming off getting TKO'd. So give me the favorite here, but not a big fan of this line. It's a pretty big line for how poorly she fought in her UFC debut. So we shall see where it's going. We are not on the same page. Maybe we'll get on the same page after I tell you about a brand new sponsor of ours, Parlay Play. We're brought to you by Parlay Play. Parlay Play is a great way to get down on your favorite parlayed player props. Football season is right around the corner, and Parlay Play will have all your favorite props. Parlay Play is available in a ton of states, including California and Texas. Plus, our good friends up north, that's me. Parlay Play is available in a bunch of provinces in Canada. And when you sign up with our code, you'll get a sweet bonus to get started. Do you have a Parlay Play you like? You want to give someone Parlay Play in advance, Dan?
So I will.
Or
just
you want to give them another sport?
I mean, I will tell you on Parlay Play, I've noticed in playing in the past, because I'm not just the spokesperson for them, but I'm also a customer. Yeah. I've noticed in the past, they have some pretty sweet UFC props that come up on there a little bit later in the week. So I can't give you any on a Wednesday, but I would just tell you that, like, if you're looking for something like that, they usually have significant strikes, things that you can put together. Like, you can put together takedowns and significant strikes. I wouldn't mind taking Montserrat Ruiz on over on the significant strikes and over on the takedowns. She might just hit enough takedowns and get those strikes in.
Fantastic. And if in doubt, just take a bunch of Atlanta Brave parlays, right?
That's right. Over on hits for Austin Riley, Matt Olson, you know, everybody, really.
Everybody. All right, so head over to parlayplay.io and use promo code SGP for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's parlayplay.io, promo code SGP. All right.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And righty long to heavyweights. Oh boy.
Josh Chunky Friesen versus guys.
Chunky guys. Not like last night in Contender Series, but nonetheless. Josh Friesen versus Martin Boudet. We'll tell you about Parisian first. We just broke down a fight for him a few weeks ago that fell through on him. Parisian's 15-6, 11 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 2-3 in the UFC. He's gone loss, win, loss, win, loss over his UFC career. So he did lose his last fight. Took him 2 wins on the Contender Series to get in. He was 2-0 on the Contender Series. Was a regional champion. He's been outstruck over his UFC and Contender Series career by 0.05 strikes per minute. He got 2 inches of reach on Boudet, better grappling stats, plus 186. Baddies, Martin Boudet, 12-1. Six knockouts, two submissions, never been finished in a fight. Went 3-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in Contender Series, 11 straight wins. He's not lost a fight since October of 2017. He's a regional champion, 2 years younger than Parisian, better striking stats, more active landing strikes. However, he's been outstruck over his four fights, UFC and Contender Series, by 0.11 strikes per minute. Minus 218. Gimme Boudet, obviously. I'm not going to pick Josh Parisian for crying out loud. Not that Boudet is amazing. He hasn't really beaten anyone amazing either. Look at that resume. You'll see some names we like to clown on sometimes, but I like him in this fight.
The thing about his fight style, though, is it's wearing, right? Like, he puts you up against the cage and just drains you. And his boxing isn't awful, right? Like, he boxed kind of competently with Chris Barnett, which, again, a guy sometimes people clown on. But he's not easy to box with. I think we can all...
We don't clown on him around these parts.
Yeah, yeah, no. But even if you're one of the folks who are terrible enough to clown on Huggy Bear, like, you can say what you want about his grappling, but he's at least not easy to box with. And Boudet did an okay job boxing with him. And Parisian is also a guy who, you know, had trouble with the physicality of Jamal Pogues and Parker Porter, which is like maybe enough to say that like he does have trouble in the clinch with people. I think I can put a period at the end of that sentence. He has trouble in the clinch with people.
Yep.
Is he not the one who Dontayle Mays humped his head? Am I wrong about that?
Was that Parisian or who you talk about?
Parisian. I think Parisian is the one who Dontayle Mays humped his head. you know the one I'm talking about?
I remember it. Yeah, you can't remember what it is, but yes.
Yeah, somebody in the That's Discord fantastic. Hit us up and let us know if that's whose head got humped. But yeah, you can't go with him after that, especially against the guy who's good at grinding. So give me Martin Boudet.
Yes, good at grinding. For sure. All right. The baddies. We're both in on the baddies. All right. Next fight. It's actually good. The fights I have questions about, I'm doing the math and it's you get to pick first in all of them, which is good. So I can tell you or choose not to. Like this fight, for instance. I have a feeling I know who you're going to pick here because I think you hate someone in this fight. Maybe not hate, but you.
No, I love both of these guys.
Oh, okay. Good. I must be thinking of someone else. Featherweights. Francis Marshall versus Isaac Dalgarian. Izzy Armenian, Dan, with the Ian in the last one. I know he's from America, but is his family?
I believe Armenian? I believe he has Armenian ancestry.
All right. So Ryan in the Discord will be rooting for him and putting all his money down on him, right?
He can be an honorary Armenian today.
Okay. Let me tell you about Parisian. Is there any Armenian in him, I wonder? That's another Ian. We're gonna have to Ryan. Hit us up in the Discord.
He looks less Armenian than he does than Dalgarian does. I will just say that.
It is true. All right. But Dalgarian is the Midwest Choppa. CHOPPA. Did you know that, Dan?
I did know that. Yeah.
All right. He's 5-0, 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. This is his UFC debut. Was a regional champion, plus 138. Fire Marshall is a nickname for Elliot Marshall. Maybe you just picked against him in his Contender Series.
Also, that's what I'm thinking. This one's not Elliot Marshall, though. It's Francis.
Oh, that's right. I said Elliot, didn't I?
Yes. Yeah.
I think we both. Yeah, well, I wasn't picking then. You picked against him, and he was supposed to lose his Contender Series fight.
I did. I took Connor Bad News Matthews.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Bad. All right. So Fire Marshall, 7-1, 1 knockout, 4 submissions. Not the old guy. Fire Marshall. This is a new one. Never been finished in a fight. 1-1 the UFC. Lost his last fight. 1-0 in Contender Series. Used to fight at lightweight. 2-inch sight over Dalgarian. 3 years younger. Minus 155. All right. Break it down. Tell us about Dalgarian.
So I'm going to pick
those of us who don't know anything about
I'm going to pick Dalgarian, especially at the number that came in. What was the number you said again?
138 you'll get for him.
Yeah. And I like that. And I will say this because when I watched Francis Marshall in his first fight, when he fought Marcelo Rojo, I was like, damn, his boxing's got really good, which is kind of what I said against Matthews. Like, I always saw him as just a wrestler whose boxing got really good. And then in his fight with William Gomi, it kind of just became apparent that, like, maybe Marcelo Rojo and Connor Matthews are just kind of hittable. It's not that his boxing's bad, but, like, maybe I was overestimating it, and Gomi kind of showed that to me. Dalgarian hits so hard. Like, he hits so freaking hard. And in addition to that, he's a great wrestler. He made the switch from training at Glory when it all shut down, and now he's out at Factory X. He's like training with Brandon Royval every day, like, and he's been doing that for like 8 or 9 months, or actually a little bit more than that, because he was supposed to fight. He was supposed to make his debut, I believe, back in January, which is when he pulled out with a really bad injury. So he's been there for like almost a full year. So we're gonna see like. He was always a heavy hitter, but now like a year's worth of training with the guys at Factory X, what that's done, and already being a powerful wrestler with just brutal ground and pound. Also, I'm pretty sure this. Yeah, no, I'm positive. This is the guy who was supposed to be signed to the Nelk Boy contract.
I still don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know what a Nelk Boy is, but I remember they were supposed to pick a fighter off of Looking for a Fight. They picked him. And then it turned out that they didn't want to just like sponsor his training and stuff like that. What they wanted was to be his manager. And he was like, I already have a manager. And he's a great one. And he's got me where I was. So the UFC still signed him. He's still with his manager. But like the Nelk Boys are no longer involved, which is probably for the best. So like, you know, like all that being said, powerful puncher, good wrestling. I think he just nullifies enough of that wrestling game of Marshall. And I think he winds up being the heavier hitter on the feet. So yeah, give me the honorary Armenian Dulgarian.
All right. You sold me. I need more dogs. Is this a chalky card for you? Is this a chalky card for me?
So. For me, it was just a card where I felt like I didn't feel really good about anybody I picked. Like literally anybody. I will tell you, like, this is one of, like, Martin Boudet. Yeah. Like, you should feel good picking against Josh Parisian every time, but then you're like, oh, I'm really going to pay -218 for Martin Boudet. Ew. You know, yes. Like, it's just like one of those days. And like, same thing with like, you know, like, well, we'll talk about the next one. It's literally the next fight is how I feel about that. It's like, I'm really about to pay, and I'm going to spoil a pick here. I'm really about to pay -270 or whatever the hell the number is on Terrence McKinney. You're on short notice. I'm really going to pick that number. And yes, I am. So there's the spoiler. Yes, I'll go first on that one too. But like, that's how I feel about this card.
See, we're not those touters that, you know, tell you where our picks are going to win 100% and we're 100%. 100% confident on our picks. No, Dan just told you he doesn't feel good about any of his picks he's given you. So that's good.
Yeah, this card sucks for as far as how confident you can feel.
It's true. All right, let's go to the co-main event of the prelims. That's quite a qualifier again. All right, it's a lightweight fight. The aforementioned Terrence McKinney versus Mike Breeden. No, not the Mike Breeden that used to work for me back in the olden days. This is money, Mike Breeden. 10-5 with 8 knockouts. He's been knocked out twice. 0-2 in the UFC. He's not fought since April of 2022. He's not won since May of 2021. 0-1 on Contender Series. 1-0 in Bellator. Used to fight at welterweight. It's more active. Landing strikes than McKinney. Minus, he's been outstruck by 0.95 strikes per minute. So almost a strike a minute. And he is at +240. T-Rex. W-R-E-C-K-S. McKinney. 13-6. Excuse me. 5 knockouts. 8 submissions. So he's finished everyone. And he's been finished in every fight that he's lost. 4 knockouts. 2 submissions. So never gone the distance. This is a short notice fight for him. 3-3 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight fights, both via finish. He has missed weight before, so maybe keep that in mind here, especially since this is a short notice and he just fought fairly recently. Was a regional champion, used to fight down at featherweight and up at welterweight. 3 inches of reach, 5 years younger than Breeden. Better striking and grappling stats, and he has outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.57 strikes per minute, -270. As Dan said, yes, we're going to have to take Terrence McKinney. He's just, usually I go with my short notice stats and I fade the short notice guy because they only win 38% of the time. However, when the talent level is tipping really heavily in the favor of a fighter coming in on short notice, I will break the rule. So that's what the case is here. McKinney's just way better than Breeden. So I will take him.
Breeden got manhandled. And I do mean manhandled by Natan Levy. Which is not a really good guy to get out wrestled by, because I don't think particularly highly into Tom Levy's grappling skills, although I guess he looked all right against Gennaro Valdez. But like, yes, Terrence McKinney should run right through him. I don't want to pay -270 for Terrence McKinney on short notice, being that he's thrown up a couple of duds. Maybe the way to bet this one is to say, find the Terrence McKinney round one prop, put a little bit on that. and then find a little bit for a Mike Breeden round two prop and put a little bit on that. And you'll probably come out on top. So that's maybe that's the strategy here.
You think McKinney's going to gas out, especially short notice?
I mean, like, he's gassed out in every single one of his losses. Am I wrong? And some of it doesn't even make it to the second round.
No, it's true.
Like the Drew Dober one, right, was first round, but the Bonfim one was second round. The Sadikov one was second round. And I mean, he just quit in the Sadikov one. But meanwhile, he's got knockout wins over Matt Frivola and Ferris Zaim. Well, he rear naked choked Ferris Zaim. But like, think about how crazy those two wins are on a record for a guy who just got rear naked choked by Nazim Sadikov. Like, round one, Terrence McKinney is very good. And I think that's all you should need against Mike Breeden. Like, I don't think Mike Breeden's good enough that he can survive that one round. You know, Alexander Hernandez got in there and got him out in, you know, pretty easy fashion. So, like, I think McKinney should. But, man, dude, you ain't paying 270 for that guy. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So this could be put up or shut up for Terrence McKinney. If he can't pull this off, then no, we got some problems. We probably have problems as it is. So, all right. Main event of the prelims, bantamweights, JP Bays. Yes, he still exists, versus Marcus McGee. I will tell you about Bays, or Bays. It's Bays.
It's Bays. You had it right the first time. Stop. Yes, yeah,
it is Bays. His ex-wife has changed her name, so I don't have to say Bays anymore. He's a young savage, Dan. He is still actually young. So we'll allow that nickname. He's still in his 20s. He's 9-5, 3 knockouts, 5 submissions. Been knocked out 3 times, submitted once. 0-3 in the UFC. 2 of those have come via knockout or TKO. He's not fought since June of 2022. He's not won since November of 2020. 1-1 on the Contender Series. Is a regional champion. Used to fight at flyweight. 6 years younger than McGee. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 1.13 strikes per minute. And that concludes his 2 Contender Series fights as well. And he's got better grappling stats than McGee. Plus 300. We're talking about fun lines. Here's another one. The maniac, Marcus McGee. 7-1, 6 knockouts, 1 submission. So he's finished everyone. And he's been finishing his one loss. He got submitted. 1-0 in the UFC. He's won 3 straight fights. All via finish, as I said. He used to fight up at featherweight. 3 inches of height, 2 inches of reach on buys. Better striking stats. And he's twice more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents, which is 1 by 1.71 strikes per minute, minus 350. Obviously, McGee is the play. He looked fantastic in his UFC debut. Was that short notice debut as well?
It was a short notice debut. Yes. Yeah.
So he wrecked my stat. I'm sure we both picked against him.
I picked him.
Yeah. Oh well, there you go.
So originally, Jurnee Newsome was supposed to fight Brian Kelleher. And I was in on Newsome to beat Kelleher. I had already done my breakdown and was like, oh, Jurnee Newsome, nice underdog here, could beat Brian Kelleher. Brian Kelleher pulled. He's got some weird, I think it's a cervical issue that he's dealing with. But anyway, he pulled out of that fight and insert Marcus McGee. And I was like, this is a terrible matchup for him. All of a sudden, it's like one of the worst matchups he could have. And McGee cashed, obviously big for me. I think there's a couple of things we hate about Bays here. The first one being he's coming in here on short notice. He's 0-3. He's been knocked out 2 out of the last 3 fights. And by guys who we don't think of as having crazy punching power, Cody Durden and Bruno Silva. He's a flyweight for the most part, and he's going to be fighting a bantamweight here. I mean, like, he has to wrestle or else there's not really much there, right? Like, that's kind of the JP Bays formula, right? Like, if he can wrestle a little bit, if you watch, like, you know, him on the Contender Series, or you watched him, he actually beat Christian Rodriguez way back when in LFA. But like, when he could wrestle those guys, he could win fights. But like, he ain't gonna wrestle Marcus McGee, being as big as he is and knowing that like that's all he's got. I think McGee's just gonna absolutely torch him. I think Marcus McGee is an obvious pick here. -350 kind of sucks, but yeah, like, it's probably the best I'm gonna feel about any number on this card.
First of all, you said a guy had a cervical injury. Guys don't have cervixes, Dan.
No. Did you know that? Yeah, I did know that. Yeah.
Okay. I just thought I'd clear that up. All right.
Thank you for that.
Yes. McGee is the pick, obviously, here. Yeah. All right. Let's recap the episode. We both have McGee. Dan's still laughing. Thank God. I finally got a real laugh out of him.
I'm just, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that word means both those things. So
the pullout joke from the other episode didn't land with you as much as I wanted it to, but this one did. That's good.
There you go.
We got
this,
McGee.
This one
we
was actually McKinney. Funny. This one works both
there
ways.
You go. Oh, that's the key. Okay. You got to be funny. All right. Didn't realize that. I didn't know dads had to be funny. We got McGee. We got McKinney. It's a Mick episode. We've got Dalgarian. We don't have the other Ian. We got Boudet instead in that fight. I have Amarim. He has a Ruiz. I have, well, we both have Blackshear, excuse me. And we both have Santos, right?
That's correct.
All right. Fantastic. Let's put this one to bed because we're going to be in your ears before you know it, invading you once again with our main card picks and our props, our dogs, our parlays, our locks, all that fun stuff. You can hit me up on the Discord. You can hit Dan up there too. You can hit all of us up there and all our friends, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter, we are at SGPN MMA and Gumby Vreeland and Jeff Fox Writer. That's my handle on Instagram too, Jeff_Fox_Writer. You can get my Substack in your inbox and you get more of me in your ears because I've started dropping podcasts on the Substack too. Because you know what, Dan? Talking is easier than writing.
It is. Nah.
It's much easier. So, yeah, but I write as well. So that's moneymma.substack.com and enter my pick'em contest. No pick'em contest this week because this card I deemed not worthy enough. I have to only do 3 cards a month. So this one is the least of the cards of UFC cards this month, I decided. And then Dumby. I called you Dumby. How rude. Gumby has got the Top Turtle MMA podcast. Showed up in my feed today. I've not listened yet. So that's why I wasn't tipped off to any of your picks.
Oh, you're in for a treat. This week's.
Oh, tell you're us about the episode, Dan.
Yeah, yeah. Kicking off the show this week, I chat with Chandler Cole, who you might remember from the Ultimate Fighter, the heavyweight season that was on recently. Real fun dude. And in addition to that, he's now going to be on Contender Series a little bit later on in the month. So I got a chance to talk to him about all of that. He's a real fun guy. He does not like LFA, which is also a pretty fun little tidbit there. And you can find out a little bit more about that. Although he doesn't give me all the details. He saves those for off the air. But yeah, real fun interview with him and then a fun interview with Isaac Dalgarian as well.
Okay, there you go. That's why I picked Dalgarian. That explains it. He's a
homer. I've interviewed Francis Marshall before too. I interviewed him before he was on the Contender Series.
I must be conflating him with the South African fellow that you don't like off Contender Series.
Oh, Cameron Simon.
That you fight me on. Maybe that's who I was thinking.
I mean, they kind of look alike. Yeah, I'll give you that.
maybe that's what I was doing. Anyhow, I didn't tell you about sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Obviously, you know that's the place to be. Get all our podcasts, get all our articles. Gumby and I are giving killer MLB picks every day. And everything else underneath the sun. Obviously, the NFL is almost back, baby. So we got you covered there. SportsGamblingPodcast.com. And of course on our Patreon, SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Patreon. All right. We'll be back in your ears very, very shortly with the rest of our picks for this fun card. Until it will be me, Jeff Foxian, and my co-host, Daniel Gumby Vreelandian. That works. We'll be back tomorrow. Bye.